Welcome back, queens and kings. You're tuned in to another wonderful episode 2, Truth Sessions, Lifting the Veil, with your host, Queen
Jam,
and King Jerry in the house. Thank you all and welcome back once again. Not only are we starting off the new year, of course, but we're going into it with a lot of great information.
Why do you say starting off the new year?
I don't know. It just felt like the right thing to say. Y'all, we are all the way in the summertime right now. It's feeling good. We're at the end of May, starting into June of 2021. And so far, so good. So far, again, you all, it's been a pretty shaky COVID lockdown, but where we are currently on the Northeast, there are multiple states that are opening up, preparing for the summertime. So again, so far, so good. Starting off this wonderful episode, we definitely want to shout out all of you all that are consistently catching us and each and every one of our episodes that we have. Thank you again for your love and support. We definitely appreciate it, and we hope that you continue to stick with us while we grow, because of course we're all growing together. If you have any type of comments, if you want to send us some love, any donations, you can do that through the Patreon.
Mm-hmm. Or qkjj.org/donate.
Thank you again for tuning in. Again, we appreciate all of the support. As you can tell too, when it comes to our audio, that's where a lot of you all support and love goes towards, and that will also continue to grow as well. First thing on our, you know, talk for me is to always say, how has your week been? I know it's been more than that, and especially if you've gone through the process of the lockdown, we hope that you've actually grown, not only mentally, but of course physically. We always tell you to get physically fit, take some time, a couple walks to the mailbox and back. It won't hurt. If your mailbox happens to be right at your door, just go ahead and take a walk a little bit further. When it comes to your emotional, of course, that's something that we all had to deal with during our lockdown. Definitely get to get more inside of yourself, more in tune spiritually as well. So we hope that you've been able to grow throughout this process and continue to grow. Amazing portions for, I would have to say for Queen during this growth season, is I got to see a lot of technical growth with Queen. What I will say is the impressive part during this process is seeing not only you yourself as an individual, possibly someone else that's within your household or your family that's taking extra steps of growth. And that's, again, that's something that I can say that I'm happy that I've gotten to see, because there's always stages that you can port towards in your life, and you can see with others, and you can see a very, very high standard of growth, and where areas, you know, we can actually show our talents and show our true selves. I don't want to go too far into it, because Queen has a lot to provide to you with actually a blog that she, that Queen has created. Definitely getting more into a technical aspect. I know you all love those wonderful scammers that love calling, so Queen has also a route for you all to take to hopefully protect yourselves. Definitely recognize it when you see it. But again, we'll get into that conversation later on. But that would be the first thing that I will say during this process. Some things that I've realized, not only within the last week or months or so, but just the growth of not only ourselves, but also with each other. Biggest thing, you all, we continue to skate. Yes, quads or roller blades, it don't matter. Queen, go ahead and let them know what we did today.
So today we skated around the school, that's near us. They have this large college campus near us. So we skated around the campus, and they have a lot of hills and stuff as well. So that was fun. And it really we really just see our growth, because it's completely different. We used to take that same route when I was riding on a bike. It used to feel so tiresome. And then using my rollerblades, completely different. It was more of a thrill. It was more exciting. It was everything that roller skating should be. It was just black ass joy in a nutshell. At the end of the day.
You all, we also had a chance to see some other folks that were taking their 1-2 steps in life as well. But the biggest thing that I noticed...
Walkers, that's pretty much what he's saying.
Yeah, those walkers. But nature was also something that I took into play. A lot more activity in nature. I know as folks are starting to come back out of lockdown and things like that, we'll start to see the decrease of, you know, nature. Hopefully not, but... that's something that I definitely noticed today. When we're away, nature definitely has its way of showing itself, and that was the most beautiful aspect. Normally, we ride with music in our ears, relax and chill while we're exercising and skating, but today, for me, I just took the time and tried to catch your surroundings, and pretty...
I was still listening to pretty. Queen Latifah and Lil' Kim.
Oh, that's
when I was skating.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Who you calling a B?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And give me a Lil' Kim album that I'm pretty sure would be.
The one that I was listening to was, what is that freaking song? It was pretty much a freestyle of hers that I was listening to.
Mm-hmm.
Because Remy Ma did a similar, it's the one where Remy Ma starts up. She's like, if Peter Piper pecked him, I bet you Remy ducked him. It's that version, but the Lil' Kim version.
Oh, the when the morning come.
Yes, but it's the actual Lil' Kim song that they got that from.
Nice.
Yeah, I don't know why I'm skipping out on that right now. I can't get anything. Only lines I'm getting is not going to give you the song at all. Because gotcha. She was like, I spit balls melt in your mouth like M&M's. I'm like, y'all not going to... You're not gonna get what song, right? It's a hard bar, but it's like, what song did it come from? Usually it's the chorus that helps people out.
Absolutely.
But yeah,
hey, so y'all, not only that, taking into us exercising, we've taken some wild steps when it comes to our food, and definitely changing our diet. You all, if you have the time, if you can get yourself a membership to, I really don't want to put this place out there like that because they're not giving us any type of advertisement.
I was about to say,
but
no.
If you can go
if
to
you
this
can
place,
buy bulk, all right, item.
Bulk items, what I would say, go over there to that fruit section. All right, now if you can't do fresh vegetables or fruits yet, go ahead and go over to that freezer section in bulk. Go ahead and get yourself.
It's even better getting the frozen fruit because then you won't have to add ice to your smoothies. That's what I realized, because I used to make smoothies with like fresh fruit and then add ice to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it's best, even if you do get some fresh fruit, freeze it.
Yeah.
It will give you that smoothie texture, that cold, blended, slushy type texture versus it just being some warm, like milk almost. That's kind of what the smoothie is when you don't freeze it.
See, what Queen is trying to downplay this morning routine that we have here. It's definitely a very great blend of berries, and then of course we add in some Greek yogurt, I believe, and we top that off with some pomegranate juice, or we'll mix it in with some
orange
OJ
juice and some hydrogen rich water.
Y'all, it's fire, especially when you're waking
up.
And
some honey.
Fire when you're waking up early in the morning. It hits you. You definitely got a boost. So give it a try. And of course, it's something light that you can start off before, you know, especially going into the summertime. You don't have to eat so heavy. Give it a try. See if you like it or not. And
we did away with drinking again.
Okay, and when she says drinking, that's alcoholic beverages?
Yes, because there was one part, I think it was like last year around this time.
Mm-hmm.
We were like out, no, it was a couple months. I think it was like in July or something. But either way, we started biking around, and we are biking, blah, blah, blah. and we ended up riding past this liquor store, and we were like, oh sure, let's go get like a little mini shot. But either way, that grew into 2 bottles on a regular basis. And a lot of liquor stores have reported an increase in sales since the pandemic popped off as well. Because, you know, you're sitting at home, you don't have anything really to do. And you're like, why not drink? But what I realized and what pushed me to make sure that I stopped drinking was just how I felt throughout the day. Some people would say, you know, it depends on what you're drinking too. Some people are like, you know, you can drink something of a higher quality and like prolong your day or have a longer day or something like that. I feel like those people are just BSing, you know. Everybody's body is different, but when I drink, I'm just ready. I can only drink if I know I'm not going to have anything productive that I have to do that day. Like, literally, I have to literally be like, I know I'm not going to have to, you know, show up. Right. I'm not going to have anything productive, creative, nothing. I just want to just sit, drink, and just enjoy myself and call it a day, because that's just what it gives me. It just gives me that chill, relaxed vibe. And I just had to get away from that because I had a lot of work that I had to do. Mm-hmm. And I was just tired at the end of the day, like around 8, 9. I'm already, you know, tired. That's usually our bedtime anyway. But it was like a different type of tired, like just drained. And I hated that feeling. And King was talking about him feeling thirsty a lot.
Yeah.
And talking about that, he was like, you know, I just feel like I could not get my thirst quenched and stuff like that. So I said all that to say, like, just push yourself. If you're someone who's like, dang, I want to stop drinking, but I'm still drinking. Just, you know, push yourself past that point. And things, you have to replace it with something else, something productive. And really, you have to just get to that point where you're like, you know, what is this? Is this serving me at all? And if it's not, then you just have to let it go.
Yeah.
You can replace it with, you know, some kombucha. Mm. Or if you're drinking, like, hard liquor now, you can go to, like, some wine. Because that's what we did. We were doing, like, E&J and tequila. And then we, some cognac, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But then we were like, all right, let's go to just wine and get smaller bottles, like a fifth of what we would usually get in the mm-hmm. large bottles. Mm-hmm. And then just taper it off that way. And then eventually you'll be like, oh, I don't even need to go. Or don't want to go.
Don't even want to go. Yeah.
But when it's like late at night and it's about to close and you're like rushing to get to the store, that's like sad, you know?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, and especially if you're not a person that's playing any type of tickets or trying to call the numbers, playing lottery, nothing like mm-hmm. that, you're rushing there. I've seen that before where someone cut us off. And I'm thinking that they go in there and get a bottle, and they're like, nah, I'm going to go ahead and get these tickets. Like, I'm trying to play these numbers. I'm like, okay, that's a whole different aspect. And all you gamblers out there, I ain't trying to go into your pockets. That's you, that's you. Because there's no difference. But
a wealthy man once told me, you don't spend your money on things like that. You invest in sure things, like black women. Anyway, we're moving on.
So y'all, I was just gonna add on to what you said. Like, for me on that aspect, yeah, I felt definitely like the time during the process and then waking up, just like no type of quenching of my thirst whatsoever. I could go ahead and, like, you know, do the best that I could, drink water throughout the majority of the day, but at the end of the day, it, like Queen said, you're killing yourself. There's no real positive outlook. Mm-hmm. And then what you have to put in place is, I know for a fact I'm not going to do anything productive. So our goals in life is actually productivity. And that seems like a hindrance, and a product that seems like a hindrance at that time for us to try and utilize. So we shouldn't utilize it. And, you know, if we do, it'd, you know, be for an occasion, celebration, or achievements, things like that. And, or like right now, ceremonial practice, when people hurt themselves, they want to exit out the pain.
Yeah, but I will say this, though. The times that I do feel like I would drink is when I'm doing, like, shadow work or inner child work. Just because it opens you up more, it makes you more aware of your emotions, and it has you succumb more to your emotions. So sometimes it's a good and a bad thing. There's some people who drink and then it, you know, takes this bad downward spiral as well. So I feel like half of it is knowing yourself, and the other half of it is just being more intentional about what you use it for, because it's called
spirit for a reason. Mm-hmm. I'll give you two sayings, you all. You can pick one that you like. A drunk body provides an open mind.
Sober mind.
And also, a drinking man is not a thinking man. That's something mm-hmm. from my grandfather. He always taught me. That one always sticks with me. A drinking man is not a thinking man, and that he's absolutely right. There's definitely been times where I've drank and the thought process is not correct. So mm-hmm. you definitely have to see those four warnings and be responsible too. At the end of the day, that's something that we always, you know, try to push. Is just be responsible about what you're doing, because there's always somebody watching you, and definitely that person is in the mirror first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But for that level for us, y'all, we're cutting that short, like we said. Cutting that short, getting our productivity together, and moving forward.
Exercising more. King also replaced it with kombucha.
Yeah, in which you all, like, if you don't know about kombucha, which I really wish that I would have known about earlier in my life, it's definitely gluten-free. I'll just go ahead and run this down. Kavita is the brand that I'm drinking right now, and it's a master brew kombucha with pineapple, peach, and it's naturally flavored with other natural flavors with live biotics. It's fermented kombucha culture, and it's gluten free, and it's actually a very bold, smooth taste. It's completely to your discretion. If you are a person you've never heard of it before, kombucha, kombucha. It definitely is delicious. I do get a boost, and I would say, for those that don't understand what live cultures are, just look them up. But for me, after I eat something or before I eat, I actually decide to drink kombucha, and it's something that I've added to my diet because I find myself digestively easier on my body. So again, if that's also a negative that I'll also add to drinking. If anyone has ever had a hard night of drinking, you may have a hard time passing. So again, that's something that you should probably think about, and of course go over any type of other healthier options that you want to replace it with. But at the end of the day, you all, it's your life. Do what does make you happy, but be careful about your choices. All right, not gonna hold your hand while we're crossing this road anymore. Let's get into it, y'all. During this time, and Queen actually hit the nail on the head, the point of topic today. During COVID, COVID-19 lockdown in multiple countries, but specifically we're going to deal here in the United States. There was a huge rise of unemployment, a huge rise of course, violence, domestic, and
wealthy people getting divorced,
which is,
but we're going to break this down. Break it on down. Well, the main thing that we're breaking down this episode, because I want to keep it short, and we're already at 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But, you know, we had to check in with y'all, because it's been a minute since we have recorded for you all. And it's honestly been because we have a lot of things going on. Once you hear what we have going on, you be like, oh, okay, I see why y'all ain't take time to record. You feel me? Because it's too much.
Y'all try to look for a home during this time, all
right? Right, exactly. And on top of that, try to look for a home and stuff around this time too.
Right.
Because I don't think we posted that episode, but I'm going to post an episode that we recorded. We actually got a noise complaint and some more stuff
Lord.
and I drafted an email, a very thorough email.
Lord.
Yes, a very thorough email. So we're going to get into all that as well. But for this episode, we just wanted to deal with the mass of unemployment right now.
Money matters.
Particularly in Maryland.
Yes, y'all. So unemployment definitely was something that's happened in multiple states during COVID, multiple countries. But definitely while we're here talking about Maryland, it was an interesting slide on how our economy, in a way, right now is bouncing back. Maryland is known for wildly tourism, of course, being that most southern state right here on the Mason-Dixon line. You get a blend of multiple cultures. Those that are from the area, we say DMV, DC, Maryland, Virginia. And running through this beautiful state, you get to embody a lot of experiences of how people, you get to find out who actually cares about you, who don't. So one great example was during this time, like I said, unemployment, it happens. Since Maryland is a tourism kind of state, mainly a lot of jobs deal with service. You have a lot of jobs that are just that kind of dead end. You get that minimum wage and you're just on that aspect of serving. So a lot of folks within this area, unfortunately, lost their jobs, or their jobs, I forgot what the correct name, what they're pretty much like, look,
frontline,
or they said, when our money gets right, we'll hire you back. I forgot what the correct name of that's called, but that happened to a lot of folks out here. So unemployment naturally went up. All right, folks was trying to get their money, get their bread. And what we quickly found out, which again, during this time, we have our own business too as well. I definitely work, on to the side like many other people that have their own business. But the craziest thing that we noticed was the processing of unemployment. Y'all, it gets real from this point on. Number one, if anybody has ever needed to, for whatever reason, to go on unemployment or to start the process, it is easy in some light, in some aspect. But how the processing, once you file your paperwork, that's where things get very difficult. And I'll say the reason why things get difficult is because of communication that happens and technology that wasn't meant to handle a mass amount of cases. In this example, you all have to understand that we live in a state that is actually a wealthy state, top five when it comes to wealth, and still when it comes to providing some type of finances to help the people, they lack here. Granted, during the process of the lockdown, I would have to say being in any other state would probably have sucked, but every state has its issues. Number one is the sourcing and how money is being processed in this state should alarm people. The state of Maryland definitely provides each year a budget and how much money they're going to spend, and they also have money that's set to the side for a rainy day, which exactly happened. Our state had well over, I believe, $2 million, something like that. Mm-hmm. A rainy day money, okay? Now, during the Trump administration, as we all saw, it was a up in the air of when folks would get a $1,500 check, when they wouldn't, or $1,200, I forgot what they first hit anyway. But during that process, a lot of folks were still trying to figure out how they're going to keep the lights on, roof over their head, food on the table, et cetera, et cetera. And luckily for our state, that had a rainy day fund. we were able to receive also an additional helping of finances. But the literal problem that we saw was Maryland's the Department of Labor. When you go through the process of filing for unemployment, you all, yes, it does go over of, you know, your past job, income, everything. But it's about the miscommunication and how many times you have to get in contact with a representative. You have to let someone know that an issue has already been processed before, or information has already been sent in of yours, or a ticket should have been corrected for said issue that keeps being brought up several times, or the simple aspect that the state of Maryland during the process of folks just trying to survive COVID decided that they're going to upgrade their system called Beacon. And that was the serious, serious eye-opening part about understanding politicians or your current government or your local government, how far they are willing to go. And what we found out was actually very daunting, that people are still going through right now, that folks that still cannot find a, not just a job that's just not paying anything, a very much beyond decent job that
I appreciate
pays
all
well
the glaze.
Over. Yeah, I'm trying.
I appreciate all the glaze.
I'm trying.
But I can't.
I'm trying.
As mad as I am about this damn situation, I can't.
Go ahead.
Okay. Our country, our state is all this much. Like, cut it. Like, I don't even care about all that stuff. The simple fact is that people have been waiting since last year to get paid.
Facts.
I don't care if they had, if we had all this money in this state or not. I was promised something, therefore I shall get it. Because what doesn't make sense to me is how I'm always required to be on 10, 11 and 12 all the time. But it's okay for other people to continue to mess up and fail and just be straight up. It's over. Either way, long story short, last year around this time, I lost my job. Had the unfortunate process of filing for unemployment.
And it happens.
I had
y'all.
Never.
Because I want to make sure that we, you know, it happens. All right.
I really don't.
No, to those that have to file, like,
yeah.
For the, yeah, like it happened. Like, we know the situations happen, but what Queen is talking about is the daunting aspect. The daunting aspect behind it.
I had the task to file for unemployment. I had never filed for unemployment before, but from what I hear from other people, you know, they were always excited. It wasn't that hard. Oh yeah, I got my funds. I'm living off the state. Great. So once I filed, I was okay. I was already feeling some type of way because it just seemed too good to be true already, because you're filing for unemployment and then, you know, you're just supposed to be getting this money while you're looking for work. And anyway, filed. I was only approved for like $157 last year.
Crazy, right?
So I was getting $157 each week.
And before you
to
all
enjoy
be like,
myself.
And before folks be like, oh, that's probably what you were like resume. Y'all don't even understand.
That's
go
besides
ahead.
The point. Like,
go
we're
ahead.
Not going to have this
go
weird
ahead.
Conversation.
Go
we're trying
ahead.
To stay on one
go
thing.
Ahead.
I
go
cannot
ahead.
Account for all these damn anomalies for the people that's listening. You feel some type of way? Leave it in the comments. Okay? That's why we're taking the time to record it. It's informative. And it's also to get other people hit. I don't have time for trolls. I'm not addressing trolls. We don't address trolls. Moving on. So I was only getting $157 a week. That was already upsetting because I call, you know, I'm like, this makes no sense. Like, this is how much I was getting paid at my job. You all should at least be, you know, giving me a portion of, like, a larger portion of that. But I was, like, doing this research, and I believe it says they only give you 40% of what you were making at your last job. Well, they weren't even doing that. Like, trust and believe me, okay? The 157 was not 40% of what I was making at my job. So, either way, I suffered through that. Even after calling, trying to figure out if any additional paperwork I can submit, nothing. Then, around December of last year, I started not being able to file my weekly certification online. Over and over again, like each week, it just like wasn't there. There wasn't an option for everyone who's filed for unemployment. You know, you'll have action items, and there was no action item showing up. It wasn't even allowing me to like go through and file at all. So I ended up having to call in to unemployment, speak to a claims agent. I got claims agent in parentheses for a reason. Quotes, excuse me, not parentheses. But I spoke with that person. They were like, you know, that's just happened sometime. You know, we'll refresh your BCA portal. You should be able to go ahead and file your claim. I went ahead and filed my claim. And I believe I was able to file my weekly claim like a few weeks after that. And then it started happening again to where I didn't see the option to file like closer to the end of December. And so I called and I was like, you know, it's happening again where I'm not actually able to file my weekly certification online. And then I was told by the claims agent that she can help me go ahead and file over the phone, but I also need to reapply because they're coming up on a new quarter. So once she said that, I was like, okay, go ahead, we'll reapply. Went through the whole motion, we reapplied. I was receiving money after that. And even after I reapplied, I had gotten bumped up to $333, which some of y'all may be like, oh, that's nothing. Going from 154 to 333, like, I'm telling y'all now, if nothing that I've learned during this time, being this low, having to survive off of $100, $20 a week, is that once I do like glow up, I'm gonna know how to manage my money, because there is no way anybody should be able to survive off of $20 an hour when someone is making $20 million by the second just off interest off of their shit. You feel me? So moving on, got bumped up to 333. I was receiving the 333 for like only a few weeks, because right after that, that end of that quarter ended, and like the end of January, I believe. So that's when my funds completely got halted, because when I spoke with that claims agent and she told me to reapply, what she did was sign me up for an additional program. So now I was showing on regular unemployment and then like the pandemic unemployment. There's these acronyms I don't really like feel like going through right now, but it was like PUA versus PCEUA or something like that. So I was on these two different programs, and that's what was holding up my money. So it pretty much was showing on the portal like you're ineligible, you can't get your money. Every week I would file my weekly certification. But on Monday, when it usually says processing on Beacon, it was just saying filed. And then Tuesday would hit, and then it would say on hold. So long story short, you know, calling, trying to get assistance with this. I'm being told over and over again, there's nothing they can do. You know, just wait. We'll escalate the ticket. You know, we'll submit another ticket. You know, all these damn tickets. Done with the ticket. So either way, somewhere around that time, I think it was like February, I ended up speaking to a claims agent, explained my situation, and then she said, give me a second. She put me on hold. She reached out to her supervisor. Her supervisor directed her to reach out to Beacon State Representative, like a state representative with Beacon. That's what she told me. I know everyone who's probably on unemployment right now is like, what? Yes, okay. She told her to get in touch with the state representative for Beacon. And after I was answering some questions with the claims agent was relaying the messages from the Beacon state representative to me and just asking me different questions, and she was sending it back to the representative. Within a few hours, my portal was refreshed. The Beacon state representative was able to refresh my portal, took me off of the double programs I was on. So now it was showing that I was only on one program, which was perfect. I was ready to receive my funds. But then when I looked at Beacon and I logged in, it literally showed I had never filed for a weekly certification ever. Like, from the beginning of January up until now, it was showing that I had absolutely no claims filed.
Which means someone set the reset button.
Yes. So that literally meant that I had, so I called her back and I was like, hey, you know, my weekly certifications have disappeared. I need to file from February to, like, you know, recently in March or something like that. I was just telling her, like, I need like 4 or 5 weeks added back on there so I could refile. And she was like, okay, no problem, I'll go ahead and send those weeks to your Beacon, to your portal. I log back into my Beacon portal and it's showing me that I have to not only file for those 4 weeks that I had, but I also had to file from the beginning of the year, although pretty much like refiling those claims that I had already received the money from, which made no sense. So I called back in to speak with the claims agent. I explained the issue. They said, well, you're going, just go ahead and do it, you know, it'll work itself out. Y'all, I went through, refiled the ones from January and then filed the ones that I needed for February, and I believe a few weeks in March or whatever. I get a notice like not even an hour or so after I was done filing those claims saying that I had an action item, my Beacon portal. I go to log in. It says I have an overpayment of $12,000. How I got an overpayment of $12,000 from the state when I haven't even gotten $12,000 from the state?
Don't even make sense.
Long story
not
short.
Not even a single penny. Not even a single. This is exactly the crazy part. They said, no, you owe us.
Shout out to 555. Keep watching and protecting me. Mm-hmm. So that is where I have been at since February, since like end of February, early March. It has just been stuck on that overpayment, y'all. It is freaking Labor Day. I mean, not Labor Day. Hopefully it don't survive. Hopefully I take that away now. It is not still going to be happening in Labor Day, okay? It's Memorial Day, y'all. And they still have not resolved the issue, okay? So just think about all of the bills that are due around that time. Think of all of, you know, the food, just the resources that you need to survive during a week and how much that costs. And then to not be getting anything at all. That will make a person angry, upset, very, what was something else I was going to say? Very desperate, very, cause them to like overthink and not think clearly and just get to a point where they're just completely like, you know, whatever I can do to get my funds pretty much. So what happened was, and what caused me to write an entire blog post that pertains to this episode, and you can go check out the blog post, I'll post it in the show notes. We were like doing some research, trying to figure out like where other people having this issue as well with unemployment. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, hundreds of thousands of people were, you know, it was like night and day. Like, I was reading other people's situation. I was like, did I write this? Mm. because they were the same exact situation at the end of December. Oh, I stopped receiving my money at the beginning of January. I haven't received funds since January. I haven't received funds since the last year. And it's like my payment's on hold. And it's like, oh my goodness. Like, I'm not the only person that this is happening to. There's other people affected as well. I go to do some more research. King is looking online, and yes, I'm calling every single day, getting the same answer. I'm gonna escalate the ticket. I'm gonna file the ticket. I'm gonna keep that to myself with the tickets. Anyway, done. So we keep doing our research. King ends up finding a post on Twitter, but that was only because, and the reason why he talked about the money that our state has is because, tell them about the post that you had commented on.
The post that I commented on
with their money,
which is crazy, y'all. Which is a huge push to get everyone vaccinated. But Larry Hogan decides, you know what we're going to do with this money here that we got sitting here? We're going to decide that we're going to literally have a lottery for people that have already gotten their vaccine in a way to push other people to get the vaccine. We're going to have a lottery set, and that person is going to win $2 million, not only because you decided to get vaccinated, but also because that money that other people have been asking for you to provide for unemployment, and you have still, Larry Hogan, decided not to respond, is absolutely absurd how many cases and people of that same money that you decide, oh, you know what, if I give it to them, then they'll think that I'm, what, bruh, that you're doing what you're supposed to do as governor, as to take care of your people.
And I do want to insert here, because I know a lot of people probably like, you know, why didn't you reach out to Larry Hogan then? Or why didn't you reach out to your state delegate? Or why didn't you reach out to the Maryland Department of Labor? Been there, done there, got that t-shirt.
And guess what? Guess what response we got every single time? Zilch. Zero. Nada.
In my blog post, I said they either can't or are unwilling to assist me, because it doesn't make any sense. I reached out to them and they literally, like, y'all go feel, go check out the blog post, because in certain points where I was referencing something like what I'm about to reference right now, I gave you a clickable link that you can go and look at the daggone form. When I reached out to them, they would say, okay, we're going to reach out to our contact that we have in the Department of Labor. Give us a second. I would get a confirmation email from the UI. It says UI inquiry. And you know, you get that confirmation after you fill out that form that's on the Department of Labor's page that anyone can go and file. If I have access, no, I'm asking you to use whatever clout, whatever power, whatever cargo pant you need to use. Okay? And literally resolve the freaking issue. Resolve it.
Class action.
Because it's like, it's getting to the point where I just want to tell people, like, look, I'm a log in as admin, okay? And I'm a
MD123 okay? For me.
I'm a log in as admin, and I'm gonna resolve everybody's issue. Now that needs to get someone's attention. Because it doesn't make any sense. If you can't figure it out, then let me know. So that brings us to exactly, that brings us to the blog post. So yes, King had, they're doing the lottery.
Stupid.
People were going in on Larry Hogan when he had tweeted about this. People were like, is that the money? One person was like, is that the money the unemployment was supposed to be giving us? Oh, okay, just checking and making sure. And I was like, facts. You know, like a lot of other people, they were commenting underneath her comment, like, facts. There was who we now know is a troll that commented and said, hey, sorry that you're having this issue with unemployment.
Multiple. It's actually multiple people that are doing this.
Multiple people that are doing this. Said, hey, I know you're having an issue with unemployment. Excuse me. What you can do is reach out to them via this link. They were very helpful with me. And yeah, just reach out to them via this link. It'll be perfect. When I saw that, I was what I wanted to reference, like, just going back to when I said this window of time, like, I've been waiting from the end of February, the end of January, till now. Anyone saying anything online, talking about some resolution, sounds you're going sweet. To, yes, you're like, okay, bet. You're not even thinking, I'm telling you, you're not even thinking clearly at this point.
Nope.
You're not.
Nope.
You're just like, where's my money? So I reached out. I clicked the link.
And here goes Tech Queen, yo.
Clicked the link, and it took me to a Telegram my Telegram that I use. It's a messaging app for those of y'all not in the U.S. because we know we international.
International baby.
Right. But it's a messaging app.
Hold on. Shout out to all the Germans that be out there watching our joint. Shout out to, I think it was like Amsterdam.
And Australians.
Australia. So in Austria. Yo, shout out to all y'all. We already know what you're listening to. All of our wonderful, beautiful brothers and sisters in the continent of Africa.
Yes,
I ain't even
going to
talk
heavy.
About, man, what Ghana. Yo, shout out. Yo, thank you. Because I forget to even mention. And I'm so sorry. Yo, shout out to all of our international brothers and sisters that listen, all of our international queens and kings,
yes.
And be listening.
We'll be doing an
it.
International tour very shortly.
Yeah, y'all put better put your universe. Skates on, man. Get your skates on, man.
Right, that's us. We trying to take like 100 of people skating down the street.
Man, let's
shit.
Do it, man.
They be like,
ganged
no.
Up.
Do y'all have a permit? We'll be like, we can't just skate down the street.
We all exercising. What you mean? This is our permit to exercise. But yeah,
exactly.
But before I cut Queen, we just first because I have to say that because I keep forgetting. I have to put y'all out there big ups.
Yes.
But y'all, man, Queen clicked on this portal, y'all, and it went to Telegram, which is a messenger app. And y'all, this is when Queen's wonderful, wonderful social engineering started to come into play.
Mm-hmm. Because I was sitting there like, what is this? Like, I clicked on it immediately, and I was just curious because I mean, it was a Telegram. Like, it was just too good to be true. Like, if I could have contacted, you're telling me I could have contacted, that was the first thing I thought. Like, you're telling me I could have contacted the Department of Labor or Unemployment this whole time via Telegram? Like, come on. So, I literally just sent a message saying, hey, I need assistance. I have a beacon issue. Been waiting for resolution about 4 months. Can you assist? I sent this message at 7:27 p.m. And you can go through, read the full 5 hour. Yes, I had their asses for 5 hours. It's called scam baiting, you all. If you want to know what scam baiting is, go check out the blog. It's pretty much wasting scammers' time and baiting them, keeping them on the hook as long as you can to keep them away from other potential victims.
And the correct title to your scam,
what?
Investigator.
Yeah,
you're a scam investigator.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's the correct title, y'all. Queen was a scam. She put on her title hat as a scam investigator, and she went ham for 5 hours straight. Straight social engineering, y'all. We ain't even gonna talk about how she's about to move forward and start getting some IP addresses. But anyway.
Right.
Woo.
So I sent that message at 7:27. You can go read through all the messages on the blog post. That's in the link. Mm-hmm. They responded saying hello there at 11:55. Mm-hmm. Now, one thing, a crazy thing that I've noticed from my interaction with a lot of scammers is that they say hello a lot. That's a red flag. I should have put that in there as well because I also put red flags in the in my blog. And that's definitely a red flag. They always say hello. They're like, hello, 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 hello. And it's like, yeah, what do you need? So either way, they sent this back at 11:55 and then said, please, you have to be online for us to assist you. Then they called me at 12:19, like 8 a.m., midnight. They called me. No, thank you. And that was the first red flag. because it was like, first of all, Department of Labor, I tried to contact them right before they're about to close, and they're not even trying to answer the phone. So you're telling me that they got somebody working till midnight on the Telegram? Like, it just, it was not making sense. So I was already on guard, so I was happy about that. I hadn't completely reached that threshold of just like not thinking all the way clearly. But when I noticed that they had called me at 12:19 a.m., I was like, first red flag. So either way, I didn't message them back until I woke up in the forenoon, had time to myself, got everything I needed to get done, three S's included. Then I messaged them and I said, sorry about that, I'm here. And that was, like I said, 7:37 a.m. And then that's when they started messaging me back at 7:38 a.m., like very quickly, saying, hello, please be online. We asked, have you verified your ID? And okay, I'm not going to read through all the messages. I'm just going to give y'all the play by play. So immediately, as soon as the conversation starts, they're asking me to verify my ID. And I was telling them, and also my ID and my social security number. And I said, I can give you my claimant ID so you can look it up that way, because I've even stopped allowing the claims agents to ask for my social. No, I'll give you my claimant ID. You can look me up that way. You don't need all that information. And another like note here, you should never really have to give anybody your full social. Even if someone asks you for the full social, be like, hey, I'll run you the last four. Even that is too much information. But it's unfortunate, because there was a time where your social security number was protected and there was only a certain group of people who would ask you for it. Now you picking up, you know, a hot dog from the 7-Eleven, they're just like, you know, can I get your last four? It's crazy. So I'm just letting you know that now, that is a big red flag. Somebody asking you for information is not qualified to ask you for that information, or not even in that, like, of that authority to ask you that information. No. So I already was like, okay, this is already seeming very sketchy. And I pretty much was letting them know, like, I'm not going to provide you with my social. But I knew I had to give them an ID to keep them, you know, like, on the hook, pretty much. So I created a fake ID, created a fake ID, a fake social, got myself a burner phone, and I believe that was all the things I really had to do. I had to edit the ID, you know, like when I created the fake ID, I had to edit it because you could tell there was a fake ID. Mm-hmm. So that was funny. That was using some of my UX UI design skills, I will say that. Yeah. My web design skills. And I ended up sending them the ID. They did not notice any of the red flags. If you would have seen that ID, and you can go look at the ID, you'll be like, obviously, you know. gave them the fake information. That kept them on the hook. They were trying to get me to go receive this link from their side so I could be verified, quote unquote. And I was just letting them know that, you know, I was just like wasting their time all the way through that process, and was just telling them, okay, I'm on my way, you know, I'm about to send it now, did you get it, and stuff like that. I hadn't even sent them anything. And I was just, you know, like pretending like I had sent it, and pretending like I was having issues with the phone. You know, I was telling them I was an older man, so, you know, I was having issues with my camera, I need to go get it repaired. I kept telling them I have to restart my phone, like stuff like that, just to keep them on the hook. And I believe, and even in the middle of that, y'all, the funniest part was I had a technical interview scheduled that day. In the middle of me baiting this scammer, I had an hour-long technical interview, came back to the scammer. He was still there, like saying, hello, hello, hello. I was like, oh, my bad. You know, I was just like telling him something. I think I told them, like, my bad, I had to go, like, do the three S's or something like that. They didn't even get it. They didn't even catch up on it or anything. They just were focused on trying to get my information. Mm-hmm. The funniest part, I would have to say, was when they actually tried to call me so that my face showed up on the phone. I will say this, y'all, too. Invest in camera covers for your phone, for all of your PCs, your laptop, all your devices, everything that's connected to the internet can be connected to the internet. Make sure that you invest in covers for them. Make sure that you turn your microphones off, because people can leverage and use that and acquire a lot of information. So it's just a great practice to protect yourself, because your camera is on all the time. Whether you realize it or not, it's on, because you can just click on it anytime and it just turns on. You don't have to click on your camera and go through all these prompts to unlock it or turn it on or activate it or anything. So it's always on, just like your microphone. A little note here is the reason why you're seeing certain ads or something, like say you're watching a TV show and a commercial comes on and you're like, oh dang, I really wish I could, you know, have some of that, some ice cream or something that you see on TV. What you don't realize is your microphone is picking up those waves. They're it's like a high pitch noise, like a high pitch frequency, pretty much, that they're a high frequency that it's picking up and listening to, and it's transferring data back and forth to all these major tech companies, and that's how they're able to use those ads and target you. That's also how Google knows, you know, that there's a whole bunch of traffic in that area, because it's constantly sending information back to that company. So just letting you all know, invest in things that's going to protect you, because at the end of the day, all these other companies, they're using your data. They really don't care that you don't want them to have access to certain information. You just have to do that on your own. Even the smallest things, when you're signing up to a new site or something that you're not committed to, some of these sites, they force you to like enter your email address before you can actually browse through the site. Provide them with a fake email address, provide them with a fake name, a fake phone number. Stop giving these people your information for free. You feel me? The less information on you out there on the internet, the better. So either way, at the end of this, you know, they were calling me, trying to get me to show up. I actually ended up seeing their screen. They turned on. You could hear a whole bunch of commotion in the background, like kids and stuff. I also posted the video on the blog post as well. You can see that, where they're just like showing me their screen and not answering me when I'm saying hello. And from that point on, I believe we were just going back and forth, you know, still trying to get me to verify my ID and stuff like that. And then eventually they were like, I believe they cursed me out and they were like, F off. And I was like, thank you. That's all I need to know. Because we just verified at that moment. Like I got you to show yourself, got you to verify that you were not the Maryland Department of Labor. Mm-hmm. Another thing that they mentioned was that they were going to verify it in like Arizona or something. And I was like, oh, so the Department of Labor is located in Arizona? And they were like, no, we're agents with them in Arizona. We'll be processing your information on this side. Just was not making sense. If it don't make sense, it don't make sense. So all that to say, I created that blog post for you all to go and indulge in. Read through the text messages, study the habits and the methods of these scammers so that you can avoid getting scammed yourself. Also teach other people the different red flags that you see when it comes to scammers. Mm-hmm. Like King just said, they have bad grammar, broken English, or broken sentences or incomplete sentences. Mm-hmm. Or they're rushing you, making sure that you don't have time to like slow down and think, or you know, take time to get something else done. And there are just so many red flags that we put into that blog post. Keep yourself protected. Do not allow yourself to fall victim to a scam. Even though it's very, very easy to fall victim to a scam, I do want to say that, because the one conversation that we don't have enough is how easy it is to fall victim to a scam, and that it's okay to fall victim to a scam, because we're on the internet. We have all these people who you don't know who they are, and you can't verify people sometime online. But we're moving into this realm where you're going to have to trust but verify. Because even to the point where, you know, I'm able to meet with my doctor on an app, it sounds crazy, it sounds foreign, it sounds scammy, but that's the realm that we're moving into. Mm-hmm. But there are still people, there are still malicious people, there are still bad actors, mm-hmm. that will leverage that small trust that you have in what we're, this more tech-driven online world that we're moving into. And they'll take advantage of that. So trust it, but verify. And just know that it's okay if it happens to you, because you have to talk about it. We have to discuss it. Mm-hmm. And that will educate other people on what happened. Mm-hmm. And don't be embarrassed. You know, tell your family and let your family know what happened to you.
Also, you're helping folks like Queen, and also others that are scam investigators. That gives us a leg up on, okay, this will help us identify this. Mm-hmm. It also identify this topic point. It also help create another blog where we can provide you with the necessary steps. Also, it gives you an opportunity to prepare yourself in a more future, you know, Internet of Things world. You have to definitely take that into consideration of the changing of our time. Before, scamming was as easy as someone sending you a false ad through the actual mail for you to put your money into and right. send back to them. Now it's gone clever. To the point where, you know, folks can get into your Zelle account if you don't have two-factor mm-hmm. authentication, put their phone number as a trusted device, go through the process of actually locking you out via that trusted device, mm-hmm. changing your passwords, then start sending countless amounts of your hard-earned money uh-huh. and literally via that bank and that banking application, due to that being a penetrating, you know, aspect that people can do. Like, and it's not to be scared, you know, there's no point of being scared, it's just identifying it. And again, if you've ever been scammed, definitely give us some give us a comment, let us know your story. If you still have the number of that, you know, or email, you know, share it with us, and, you know, try to take some steps from there and see if we can build some content on it as well.
Right.
If you're a scammer that wants to try us, you know what I'm saying? Like, try us. If you want to try and waste your time, but that's on you. But
oh yes, and I do want to submit this little plug too. If you are a queen and a geek like me, then please reach out to me. Please connect with me, because I crave other Black women in tech to connect with, and we have to lean and propel each other up. So I only want the best of the best, though, because, you know, if you're just starting out, I understand, I get you, you know, you can come along eventually, but I want to build up and get to a point where we can train those people who are up and coming, and be able to leverage the fact that there's no one there. There's no mentors there for Black women in particular. There's so many young white males that are just like the go-to when it comes to tech, or they don't even have to have experience. They're just like, oh, they're white and right, so let's go ahead and let them in.
And if we do go on to the other episode, to the opposite aspect, internationally, you're bringing mm-hmm. over. And then again, it's not like throw no shade, but you got folks from the Middle East.
But a fact is a fact.
Yeah, you have people from the Middle East that don't share our, they may share closeness to skin color, but they don't share our same thought, likeness, culture, mindset, none mm-hmm. of that. And they look at us with that same scope of ignorance, hatred.
Yeah, they practice white supremacy. Let's
absolutely.
Just go ahead and say that.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm knocking that joint off the head, and I'm going to give y'all the actual words for, because I hate throwing the cover over top of everyone, mm-hmm. but I'm just keeping a buck. Like,
I have no room for glaze.
I know, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a lot of very intelligent, and the intellectuals that are within the community mm-hmm. know what's going on, and they have the same skill sets as those individuals that are apparently being hired before them. It's just, you got, like, people have to understand, you have to give people a shot, and really, the same individuals that got you into space, 9 times out of 10, are probably going to be the same individuals that keep moving moving your country forward. So I'm just saying, mm-hmm. when you invest the correct way and not the cheap way, you get really good results instead of wasting your time, money, and a whole bunch of other crazy stuff. But we did, I say on all of this to say, in the beginning, like I said, Queen has been definitely sharpening her sword, her technical sword. Definitely going through the process of taking those steps of mm-hmm. providing you all with the content and the information, and literally at the end of the day just letting you all know you can do it yourself. You can do it. You can put the time into it. Like, you're gonna have to invest. And what, you know, what Queen may not have talked about, you know, we had to purchase a brand new computer. Mm-hmm. We had to go through the process of, you know, like Queen did on our own.
Purchasing the boot camps and stuff too.
Boot camps. Queen actually, outside of that, got some books. Took the necessary time to reach out to people mm-hmm. and correcting whatever, you know, whatever coding issues or those hoops or obstacles, there you mm-hmm. go, technical obstacles that happen when you're learning something mm-hmm. new. So I say all of that to say this: go ahead and invest. If you don't want to invest in yourself, invest in someone else that obviously seems interested in the technical world. But mm-hmm. I really have to express to you all that, you know, if you don't do it, who else will?
Exactly.
If you don't care, who else will?
That's fact. Because I'm not doing this for myself. I'm doing this for other people. I'm doing this for the little black girl coloring on the floor right now, expressing who she really is mm-hmm. at the core.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for my little brother that I have coming up that wants to get into gaming. And, you know, gaming PC costs about $1,000. So I need to increase my current rate right now so I can be able to afford him whatever it is that he needs, and invest in him and make sure that the youth is invested in. The youth feels heard, and the youth knows, like, whatever I have a creative or a passion for or a drive for, I can monetize that and not work a day in my life.
There you go.
That's what we're investing in, because all of this generational not wealth is not gonna work. The generational insanity has to stop. The repeating what your parents are doing, the
traditional
and,
route.
Yes, that's not working.
Hey, and for those that, and for all of those, and please take a look at what COVID has provided for all of those. And I know it's only 40% that were probably able to work at home, but still keep in mind that there's an opportunity of growth there.
Yes.
Don't you ever let nobody tell you that you can't get work done in your own home. And besides
Facts.
That, don't you let nobody tell you that you can't literally work at home and definitely get paid more mm-hmm. sitting at home.
At home, yep.
There have been countless, and majority have been white male, conservative thinking senators that are out here, people are being lazy, are only getting on order online, just playing games. Stop. There are people that are online that are playing games, but what they're not saying is they have a whole, they have their space at Discord, Steam, whatever platform. They have multiple loyal individuals that are not only enjoying their entertainment, their space, their time, their experience, but they're also donating to them in their future, and they're asking for those individuals to participate. And guess what? If you're mad at someone being able to sit at home and play a video game and get paid, be mad at the fact that you can't do it and that person can.
And be mad at the fact that we had a whole president that did nothing but sit there and chat on himself. There, I said it. So if you want to be mad at someone sitting around shitting away, it's that person to be mad at. Mm. All right. Now that is the end of our episode. We hope you all enjoy. We will get back to recording and dropping an episode every Friday. But like we told you all, we have a lot of stuff going on, but that doesn't mean that we can't take 10, 15, 20 minutes and throw some information y'all way. So we will try and get better at it. And it will also help too if we see more feedback from you all. If we get more, you know, ratings on our podcast and more feedback from you all, like actually tagging us and being like, dang, I love this episode, can't wait for the next one, that encourages us. We use that to fuel us to the next episode. Mm-hmm. So let us know how you feel about this episode. This was a nice little freestyle episode. We'll probably get back a little formatted the next episode, but we definitely had to come update you all with everything that was going on. If you're on unemployment, definitely comment down below. Let us know thoroughly what's going on in your situation so we can add that information as well. Mm-hmm. And just use all that information to possibly even turn this into a class action lawsuit at this point. Because, you know. But, can you get anything, any ending words?
Long live DMX.
Oh, I thought you were doing Pop Smoke. I didn't know who you were doing.
No, no,
because he would do that too.
And the reason why I added that into because that's someone that not only a philanthropist in real life, but also someone
that's past the DMX.
Yeah, past his name, but Earl.
I said pastor.
Earl. Yeah, pastor. Right, but Earl, our brother Earl, as you all know, passed on. Yes, passed on and provided us with wonderful content, Exodus 1:7, which is his last album, completed his cycle from when he first got signed to Def Jam, and literally that was the last record label that provided when he first got on for his first album and his last. So I want to say blessings to him and his family, and for someone that has, in general, will always be a legend. I will say that don't ever judge a book by its cover. DMX is one of those individuals where if you never knew anything about the man, and you only got to only be provided what he's been portrayed to us and not actually understand the person, we'd probably get a lot further in life as a whole society. But we'll just work on it one day at a time. You keep checking out True Sessions with Queen Jam and King Jerry. We're gonna keep lifting these veils and providing you with information. But till next time, you all keep encouraging yourself, spread that love, and smile in the mirror.
Yes, and last but not least, today's episode is sponsored by QKJJ.org, where we have the pre-tied head wraps that will help you quickly replace those bonnets that should not be leaving your bedroom. And with that said, we out.